Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows and tell.
Is that like in you guys' ear enough?
We hear it. No, we hear it.
We can hear. Are we gonna? I think we're gonna get like copyrighted for this.
I doubt they'll care. No, they'll be fun.
It's okay.
We'll just not put more than like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's
educational.
Yeah, it's over now.
Also, we're not making any money off of this, so like, what do they have to gain?
Hey, you know we have $8.
Haven't seen a penny of that.
Reese.
No, delayed gratification.
I get 60 and you guys get 20 each.
That's fine. All I want is my quarter. Like, that's it.
Or we can like, I can like have you guys fight for the money, kind of like the same
Squid Game.
I would win.
Roy Children. No, we're talking about Succession this week.
Oh, sorry. I mean, when you said money and then fight, I was like, oh, this is like Squid Game. No. If you were to aging and then dying and then promise Julia the podcast and then I swoop in out of nowhere, then yes.
Right. Totally. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
I am too. This is a show I have been meaning to start for the longest time, and I think it's the most recommended show I've ever gotten. So I was very excited when you chose that tea.
Oh, good. Well, I felt like Reese's Squid Game episode did so well that I feel like it might be good for us to just like have a few more like relevant episodes, more timely episodes. Mm-hmm. And Succession is obviously just like on countless lists of number one, and doing so well right now with the third season had just finished only a month or so, or like very recently. And it is just like on everyone's brain. So I thought it would be great to do. And I obviously loved it, of course. I watched all three seasons and I'd like to hear about you guys' backgrounds. But I do want to ask how you both are. Julia and I just went to a really lovely core power class. Yoga.
I feel like we went to one last time we recorded too. But yes, we're athletic queens. I'm doing well. Reese and I both just had COVID. Reese is still recovering.
Today's my last day in the pen.
The queue.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So I feel like who doesn't have COVID right now? So that's fun.
Everyone.
I'm supposed to be in Miami right now. We weren't supposed to be recording this week. But, you know, it all works out that way. You know, the gods didn't want me to be on the beach. They wanted me to be recording the pod. So that's what we're doing.
True that.
How are you guys?
Pretty good. Work's been keeping me busy. And honestly, oh, sorry if my mic's been brushing up against me. I'm restless. I'm at the point right now where like if I had a quarantine for one more day, I'd start to lose it a little bit. But it's actually been kind of like a blessing in disguise, oddly enough.
You did 10 days, right?
Yeah, so it's like at first my roommates weren't here, so I had the apartment to myself, which was nice, mm-hmm. and, like, I was able to clean and everything like that. And then, like, work has been fairly busy, so it's actually been nice that I'm not, like, forcing myself to, you know, go out and about, and I've just been, like, hunkered down doing work in here. But, yeah, it's actually been okay. I'm ready to leave my home.
Yes. I just find it funny, like, obviously everybody has it right now. I feel like truly half of people I talk to have it or like just had it, and it's just funny because I had it right after Halloween, and I just feel like you two were like, yeah, I've been exposed so many times, still haven't gotten it, blah blah blah.
I was gonna say it was I think it's Omicron where it's like
I think so too.
Yeah, it's just it's evolving.
I was that person that would brag to everyone, I'm immune, like whatever. I had so many. Remember the summer we all went to that like one party, we all were exposed, Talia?
Yes, that's how my roommates got it.
Yeah. And I was always like, I have an immune system of steel. Nope. Omicron got me.
That's so funny. Well, I'm doing well too. Thank you for asking.
I asked how both of you are doing, so.
Juge did ask, and then you referenced me to go first. So.
Sorry. I'm great. I'm really well. I'm really excited to be talking about what we're talking about today.
Also, it's the new year. Wait, we didn't acknowledge that it's a new year.
Oh, Welcome to 2022. Welcome to our first episode of 2022 our second year of the pod, you know.
And it's the year of the tiger starting in February.
And aren't we all year of the tiger?
98, bitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reese, what's your face? He's making a face and he's shaking his head.
I'm not a fan of the calendar. We'll get to grievances at some point.
You can just say these blanket statements.
Yes, I can. Like, the Romans decided that it resets.
Roman.
Like, it's so, oh yeah, ooh, good call, yeah. It's so arbitrary, the dates, the calendars.
Reese, you know you love being a Gemini, don't lie.
So that's not even the Roman calendar, that's the lunar calendar, right?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't even go by the, okay, but that's what I'm saying.
It's not what I was supposed to prepare for the podcast.
We should go, I'll talk about this at the end. I hate resolutions. Let's get into it.
Mine are going so well. Okay, let's begin. I'm going to give you guys a bit of a spiel kind of before I ask about your background. We did watch the pilot because we talk a lot about, I would say like about half of the time that we do an episode, we usually end up doing the pilot, but like sometimes we talk about how it's encompassing of the show. Sometimes we talk about how it's not. I think in this case that it really is. I really, really enjoyed, this is like the third or fourth time that I've rewatched the pilot, because with this show, there's so much information going on all the time that like every time you rewatch an episode, you always learn something new. So anytime anyone wants to like start the show, I'll always watch the episode with them. So it's like, I've seen it a couple of times and I find it, the characters are so intricate and I find it really interesting how the actors play the characters for the pilot, like versus like how they continue to play the pilot for the rest of the show. But I digress. I will get into that when we get into everything. So I will start by letting you guys all know that Succession is an American drama. Some people say drama comedy. We can discuss. American drama television series created by Jesse Armstrong and produced by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, who co-wrote Anchorman together, which is very interesting that the two of them took this like very serious kind of route. It's so hard for me to picture Will Ferrell like weighing in on this show. It's really difficult for me to like even think that they exist in the same universe. Do you guys agree?
I agree.
Like Will Ferrell has done serious acting before, and like it, I feel like a lot of times we find, and like we've talked about that on the podcast, where it's like you get comedic actors doing serious roles, they're often amazing at them, because to do comedy you have to be a good actor. And Adam McKay too is like, I mean, he just came out with Don't Look Up, and he came out with Vice, which are like serious films, which are, you know, you could say drama, but they're all, you know, twins with comedy.
Totally. Did you guys see Don't Look Up?
I started it.
I did see it.
Okay. I thought it was wonderful, but maybe we could talk about it at the end.
That's a good end.
Yeah. Well, I was just surprised to learn. I just didn't know. I think it's really cool that Will Ferrell has his hand in this. So it premiered on June 3rd, 2018 on HBO, consists of 3 seasons, has been renewed for season 4. I didn't watch the show until the airing of the 3rd season, and HBO Max did, like, they didn't drop the whole season at once like Netflix does. They did it week by week, so you couldn't binge it.
As they should.
Yes. Oh, they're doing it for the Euphoria crap. That's so annoying. But obviously, like, that kept viewers coming back week after week in a similar way that, like, they would be on network television. And after every week, there was, like, so much discourse on TikTok and, like, memes all over the internet. I'm going to get to this also after every episode. And I was, like, a little behind as I was going. And I hadn't watched the show until a few months ago. And I'm sure that I've tried a few times. And the thing that I've heard about, like, I've heard a couple different people say they watch the first episode, they try and get into it. They watch a couple, they try and get into it. and they just like can't. They're just like, it's not, something's not clicking. Have you not heard this, Reese?
No,
that's what happened to me.
That's what I've heard too, where like I told a bunch of my friends like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna start Succession this week because I knew that we had this podcast mm-hmm. episode. And it's interesting, like a lot of people said, like, you know, don't get turned off if like you're not into it after the first 2-3 episodes. And I was like, okay, like that's, you know, that made me go in a bit, not hesitant, just because I hear amazing things, yeah. But I went in, this sounds like New York, but I went in just like with that,
no,
like,
it's okay.
No, I just went in with the thinking of like, is this going to be like, they're not figured it out yet? But after watching the first episode,
yeah.
I texted you guys 36 minutes and 8 seconds in, and I was like, this yeah. is for me.
But I knew you would like it. I think yeah. what everyone I, yeah. says is end of first season is when it really hooks you. And by the way, I do want to say, Reese,
what are the complaints?
The language is hard to follow.
I couldn't get into it. Like, not enough happened to me, like, for me, okay. you know?
Well, T, what were you going to say?
I know that on, like, our podcast, we do spoilers, like, in general. And then I don't want to, like, really spoil anything for you, but
I was going to ask
how we're going to, like, really talk about things. I'm going to try my best not to go into, like, such deep detail about, like, when things happen, but I am going to have to say certain things.
Okay.
And how do you feel about that? Is that okay?
Not good. Because I really like this show.
I'm sorry. Like, I want you to, like, cover your ears because there are so many times that I, like, my jaw dropped.
If there are things like that, tell me to take out my headphones and I'll just I'll be vacant for, like, 60 seconds if you have to address something. But,
or should I, like, force you to listen to it because you made me watch Squid Game?
No! You I'm watched joking. One episode.
This is a spoiler podcast. That's all
yes,
I have to
it
say.
Is. It always
I try
been.
Not to do spoilers unless the show's already done.
No, I know. It is done, though. I know, but whatever.
Season 4.
I'll have to pause you.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll continue to kind of give the viewers, our listeners, not the viewers, some background about the show in case you have not seen it. Even if you haven't seen it, I would be shocked if you haven't heard of it. Just, you know, same thing we were saying about Squid Game. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're tuned into the TV world, like, where have you been if you're missing Succession? Like, I'm sure you've even heard that theme song. So the series centers around the Roy family, the dysfunctional owners of Waystar Royco. By the way, it took me a couple episodes to get Royco was like Roy Co. Company.
I think that was like the only thing I understood in the first episode.
Well, because they say it so quickly, they're like, Waystar Royco. I'm like, okay. So yeah. it just took me a few. Sometimes I have my spacey moments. Waystar Royco, a global media and entertainment conglomerate, the family is fighting for control over the company amidst uncertainty about the health of the family's patriarch, Logan Roy. So it's a family show when you really think about it. So we have the oldest son, Connor Roy, who came from Logan's first marriage. And then Kendall Roman and Siobhan Roy have all come from the second marriage. And then now he's on to his third marriage.
Okay. That's actually something I didn't pick up on.
Yeah.
I didn't know how Connor fit into it.
Connor's different.
Well, that's the thing, because Connor's different. And I wasn't sure if he was like Logan's nephew or like it was like something like they were like his brother's son. I don't know. But
he's different, and you can tell throughout the whole series that he's different.
Well, yeah, he's a generation above them.
Yeah. So if you feel like this is kind of like a story that we heard before, it's because showrunner Jesse Armstrong initially conceived the series as just a feature film about the Murdoch family, and that script actually never went into production.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I was going to ask if it was because when I thought of Logan Roy, I immediately was like, this Rupert seems like Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask him based off like a real...
Yeah, yes, sense. It is. I mean, listen, like loosely it's not,
yeah.
you know.
No, yeah, yeah.
So Jesse Armstrong expanded the scope of that story. He wanted to include the larger landscape of Wall Street and just like money and how that all came into play. And he felt like this whole thing was better suited for television rather than film. So he wrote a new script and he centered on these original characters that were inspired by various powerful media families. So, like, you know, they say it's various, but I think it's pretty Murdoch-y. As I mentioned before, we watched the pilot and, like, obviously we are introduced to everybody. Like, I mean, for God's sake, like, the fucking show, like, opens up with Logan pissing on carpet, which is so crazy, like, that is how this very intense, like, luxurious, money-focused show opens up with just this old man pissing on a carpet, which, I mean, says miles. But I think the pilot, like, mostly centers around Kendall, and it's apparent that he's been working his way up to the company, and, like, it's apparent that he is the, as far as we know, like, the chosen one, and that he is, like, gonna succeed his father, who is, like, the CEO and owner and creator of this ginormous media conglomerate. As we're seeing that, we're seeing that Kendall is trying to acquire a small media startup, and he's, like, in the process of this deal. There's a lot of back and forth. All the while, it's Logan's birthday, and at the end of the day, they're supposed to be, like, announcing Kendall as the head of the company. And, like, that's the lead up to the episode. Of course, which is just such a theme in the show, is, like, every time we think that there's gonna finally be an answer to this question, to, like, who is gonna be the new CEO, there's never really, sorry, Reese, but there's never really an answer. Like, they always
pick up. No, I was gonna say, mm-hmm. This does not seem, and, like, I've seen promo and stuff for season 3 and clips. Like, I know Logan's still involved. So, like, and I'm sure, regardless of who gets promotions, there's gonna be episodes where they get demoted or this person backsteps. Like, I can imagine that. So,
yeah.
That's not
And I like the name of the show because it's
good. It's really smart. Succession. No, it makes sense. It makes perfect, beautiful sense. I love a one word for our TV show name, by the way.
We do, yeah.
So it's just succinct. And also, it's heartbreaking to me in this pilot that, like, it's not just that Kendall thinks that he is going to be the new head of the company. Like, everyone knows. And everyone's like, oh, like it's a big day for you, Kendall. Like, everyone knows. Mm-hmm. And in the most swift and cruel but, like, understated way, his father's just like, yeah, we're gonna take a step back from this announcement. We're gonna wait maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. And Kendall just explodes. And this is what Kendall does. Like, it's just such a glimpse into the future of this character. Like, he's calm. He's trying to do the right thing. His dad does something that's like, absolutely sets him off, and he just goes off. And by the end of the episode, Kendall is trying to, like, put together the scraps of this deal with this media startup that they're trying to buy, and he gets the deal, only to find out that, like, his father has just had a heart attack and is in the hospital and, like, close to death. And that's, like, the theme of the show. It's, like, they're constantly navigating Logan's health. They're constantly navigating who is going to succeed him. Nothing is ever going in the direction that you think it's going to go. And then, like, just when you think you're about to get an answer, something happens with, like, mm-hmm. his health. Like, it's just, that's just what's constantly going on. Mm-hmm. So I'll pause there and I'll let you guys tell me how you feel about the show and your background, please, of, like, if you've seen it, what's the deal?
So I had seen the pilot before, and I was one of those people that couldn't get into it. It's not that I dislike it. I like the theme of the show. I want to watch more episodes, but I wasn't, like,
how many have you seen? You've just,
I've only seen the first, and then I rewatched the pilot just now. I watched it a few months ago, and then I just rewatched it. So I liked it, and I want to watch more episodes, but I wasn't immediately hooked like Reese was. It gave me very much Billions vibes, if you guys have seen that show, which I like.
Yeah.
But it's not like I would need to know what happens in the next episode, you know?
Okay.
So I'm intrigued. I haven't been able to see yet what the hype is about, but I like the overall vibe and themes of the show.
Yeah. I get that there are some shows that the pilot doesn't hook you, and it's just the same thing that I said for Squid Game. I was like, why am I continuing? Like, besides that it's a great show, like, why am I continuing? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that drive to continue, then you don't have the drive.
I know. And also, I just have a very low attention span, and it was a long episode, and like a lot of it is just like dialogue between characters, and I find that kind
you
of
need funny. A you need to pay attention.
I know,
to the show.
I'm bad at
like
that.
You need it's I'm bad at it too, like I'm terrible at it, but like you miss so much. And I honestly want to rewatch all three seasons, because I feel like the lingo that they use is so intense. They're constantly talking in riddles and corporate terms. And I mean, I personally find it incredibly entertaining, and I'm going to speak more about this, but like it's corporate, like media terms too. Like,
I feel like I can understand to a good extent, like those type of terms and like what they're talking about.
Yeah. I would expect that you would.
I just, like, I don't know. I think I was expecting a little more suspense.
You didn't think there was suspense?
I mean, there was, but, like, I kind of knew, like, that's what the show was going to be about going in.
Reese has a face. You can speak now.
Oh, okay. So, going off of your point about Billions, for the longest time, I didn't start Succession because there was always the debate, which is better, Succession or Billions, and like,
yeah,
there was, it's just like when there's two similar things out at the same time, I just can never get into one of them. It's like when like Hunger Games, Divergent, The Maze Runner, like all those like teen dystopian, like I was like, that's too much. They're all too, I don't want to choose. I'm not going to take any of them. But Succession is like, that first episode is just, it's one of those examples of, and like, no pun intended, but showing not telling. And I love that so much, where it's like they perfectly set up every single character, and you know all of the relationships and all of the stuff that has happened in their lives just from like the smallest little like things, where you have Kendall clenching his fist when his father's talking to him. And his father wants him to punch him to show that he actually has balls, because that's what Logan has. And he won't do it. And it's, oh my God, the delivery of the line, it's an accumulation. I'm like, so this has been happening since he's a child. And it's so clear. And oh my God, I could go on. Yeah. And I'm excited to watch
so
more of the show.
Good lines.
And it's, once again, it's like Greg, like, you know, Logan respects the fact that Greg is like, cousin Greg, I know, is like the thing. But Logan respects the fact that he's actually like speaking to him. And not afraid to, and you can sense that, which is something where it's like, you get a guy like Logan who, you know, everyone is scared of, and then you have like this weird gangly tall like nephew.
Right, because he knows nothing. That's why he's so freaking charming. He's doing all this crazy shit, like going up to one of the most powerful men in the entire world.
And he is just like, what if I run
the theme
up
at parks? Yeah.
And Logan respects that. And and it's very like, there's more is said in this show with Logan's wife smiling, knowing, you know, certain things, or even just like the giving of the Patek Philippe watch, the delivery of the line where it's like, I can read. It's they feel like real characters, and it's that perfect example of just good pacing. And yeah, so right off the bat, I really liked it, and I'm believing the hype.
Julia, I feel like you could appreciate the style and theme, like, visually of the show. It really gives you a New York money, like, it's so visually pleasing.
It's a sexy show. I will say that.
It's a sexy show.
It's one of those shows where you're like, I want to watch it because I like that vibe.
And it makes you want
to
live.
It made me think too much about work. Like, I don't want to think about that.
You're telling me. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm thinking about work the entire time. Literally.
No offense if any of my coworkers are listening, but.
No. Listen, everyone needs to deconnect from work.
No, I will say, like, one of my favorite influencers, Tinks, she has this thing where she says, like, phone level while watching a show. This was like a pretty high phone level like 5 for me.
Like, you were on your phone.
I was like I couldn't, like, I don't know, it was so boring some of the parts. I was like,
but that's the thing where it's like, how can you even dislike something if you're not paying attention to it?
Yeah. Okay, so that's that.
Have a low attention span.
Yeah.
And you were gonna roast me for my opinions on the show.
No, I had to a little bit.
I'm not this. The thing is, I just don't know if I am ready to commit to watching the entire season for it to get good at the end of the first season.
That's fine.
That's fair. But it's like, if you were to watch, if you were to watch the full episode and not like it, then it's like, how am I going to complain? But if you're watching 65% of it, you're missing like all these little things, like a quick cut to Kendall's eye twitching, where it's like, you can tell this. You can tell, like, maybe he was taught that in rehab. Like, we have to control our anger. And it's, yeah.
You know who disagrees with Julia? The Emmys. Because they have quite a few.
I'm not saying it's not worth an Emmy. I'm just saying, like, it's not for me.
No, I know. That was a transition.
Okay, I know.
A segue, if you will.
That was a segue, if you will. A very smooth one, I might add. The show has much critical acclaim. I mean, it's expected if you just open up your phone. No one's shocked. But in the past 3 years, it has accumulated 23 Emmy nominations, including 9 wins. One of which
I was going to say, what did it win for?
Outstanding Drama Series in 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Outstanding Writing in a Drama Series.
Have any of the actors won anything or no?
I did think the acting was very good.
No. Yeah, like, I'm sure I know they've been nominated. I just can't remember if any of them have won.
Jeremy Strong won, who plays Kendall. I'm not surprised.
I thought the acting was really good.
The acting is incredible. Also, like, it's continuing to move uphill. Like, they're all of the actors of the immediate family besides Connor are nominated for Golden Globes in 2022. So it's just, like, I think it's just like on and up, and especially the way the season 3 ended. Like, I think this show is going to have, like, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 seasons. I'd love to listen back to this in a few years and like see where it's at. That would be really interesting. And with that, like, now that we're talking about the actors and stuff, I do want to like do a pretty deep dive into the characters.
Wait, before we do that, can I say one thing? Another show that this loosely reminded me of is Mad Men, and that is actually one of my favorite shows, which I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I have seen it.
But, like, loosely.
You should do Mad Men.
Yeah, I will. I know. I think I like how Mad Men, though, was more, like, a period piece.
Well, yeah.
Maybe I would like the show better if it was, like, set in the 80s.
Yeah, but it's so visually interesting, though. Like, I think it gives you all of that juiciness that you need to, like... Continue.
I think it's a really good show. It's just not a show for me. That's my final opinion. But I want to hear more about the characters.
That's totally fine. I'm here for you on that. Like, I love that we have differences of opinions.
Okay, I want to learn more about the characters. So please tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm so excited to talk about them because they make the show. We can start with Logan, who's played by Brian Cox. Also, like, a lot of these actors are not American. I don't know if you guys, when foreign actors are using an American accent, if you are, like, good at telling. I'm not great at it. Like, I'm innocent until proven guilty.
The guy in Billions isn't American.
Oh, really? Yeah, so Brian Cox is Scottish. And then when we were rewatching the pilot and they're giving a toast for Logan at his birthday, they're like, oh yeah, born in Scotland. I was like, that is a nice touch. Like, that really gives the actor, like, freedom to, like, I don't know, slip off every now and then, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
He had mostly worked in theater before this. And then obviously this is such a gigantic, I think it's like the heaviest weight. This role is the heaviest one. I mean, when he is on screen, he is just commanding. Like, there's no other way. It's very hard to focus on the other actors in a shot when he is in that shot, in my opinion. And in terms of the character, like, you never seem to break down those layers. Like, every time you think that you have and that you're maybe seeing, like, a glimpse of real human being, you just don't. And it's so apparent that the company is, like, because everyone's always fighting, like, everyone wants to be the favorite child. It shows a constant fight of who's the favorite child. The company is his favorite child. And I think that was so apparent in the pilot when, like, he gives Kendall this test of, you know, you have your father's birthday lunch or you have this meeting for this big deal you're trying to close. And which one are you going to go to? And he looks at Kendall and he goes, you know, you know what to do. And Kendall thinks that means go to his father's birthday lunch. Mm-hmm. And like, it's his own birthday lunch. And he's like, you didn't pass the test. Like, screw you. Which is crazy.
It's the same thing with the papers where it's like, if he's going to run a company and just trust whoever, like, that's it. It was a perfect thing where it's like, he made his son sign. He's like, I should have trusted you. You're my dad. And it's like,
no,
your closest advisor would screw you over. And it's, but yeah, no, it's the same thing. It's an accumulation. Like,
he's the least, he is the most untrustable. Word?
Untrustworthy.
Distrustworthy.
Yeah.
Untrustworthy. He is the most untrust. I also knew it was incorrect. I just want to say I knew it was incorrect and it was coming out of my mouth. He is the most untrustworthy character by far, and they're all fucking snakes. And I mean, there is just, where is the love? Like, where is it? And they haven't explained yet, like, why Logan is the way that he is. And I really do hope that they tap into that, because you have to give some background to, like, people who have been following the show, because they've only shown him as, like, stone cold hearted. I mean, he's has his moments, but
do they talk about, like, his past marriages and stuff like that, or not really?
They haven't spoken about the first one, the mother, like, Shiv, Roman and Kendall's mom, is showcased, like, later in the show.
Oh, so it's a divorce. She's not dead.
No, it's a divorce.
Oh, okay. That's what I was curious about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you meet her, you're like, oh, this is their mom. Like, she's very interesting. She's, like, cold, but, like witty. And it's just like, oh, this is also why they are the way they are. Like, you see the Logan side of it. But, and then now he's with Marsha, who is a very interesting character. She's kind of just, like, a doormat, but then sometimes has a little bit of pizzazz. Like,
I was going to say, she mood. Seemed, I liked her in the first episode. Like, yeah,
I mean, she's played her cards right in life, obviously, to end up there. Especially because now, like, he's campaigning to get her a cut of the company. And that's what I'll say about Logan. I mean, the characters, it's played flawlessly. I mean, it's hard for me to even distinguish that it's an actor. It flawlessly. It's a fantastic, fantastic portrayal of a character. So next up, we have Kendall Roy, who's played by Jeremy Strong. And Kendall, as a character, obviously he's been at the company the longest when we meet him, but we learn that he is a recovering drug addict. He's going through a divorce. It's apparent, like, that he still loves his wife. He has children that he obviously, like, loves and connects with to some level. And he is trying hard to do the right thing. Like, he's trying hard to do the right thing for the company and, like, later on for, like, kind of the world, as to say. But, like, there's always a piece of it that he is missing and always a piece of it that is just off in his plan that the plans end up absolutely imploding. And throughout the show, he just can't decide if he is on his dad's side or not. And, like, just when you think that he's not on his side, he is. And just when you think that he is on his side, he's not. And that's where a lot of the really, like, juicy cliffhangers, sorry, Reese, have come from. And they've been immaculate. And it's amazing. Him. Yeah, it's amazing. His line in the pilot of, they're like, so they're in the midst of the deal and there's, like, trouble in the air. And the associates are like, so should you call your dad? And looks at him and he goes, are you going to call your dad? Huh? Are you going to call your dad or your dad or your dad? And it's so good. Like, he's so good.
He's very good at playing, like, a quote-unquote, like, beta male who wants more than
who
anything.
Who thinks he's such a fucking alpha.
Well, not even, I don't even think he thinks that. He just wants to be it. He just wants to be it so bad. And his dad is so naturally where it's like, his dad.
Also, that line of dad, like, it's not a big dick competition. And his dad's like, sometimes
it
is a big dick competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, like, and the thing is, Kendall, like, did things right. Where it's like, he actually ended up doing the right thing in the end. And he got the deal. And it's like, good. But it's just,
No, it's never enough, ever.
There's just something missing that like that Logan has, and it comes through in the performance where Jeremy Strong plays it as a, like, you know, he can't win over his
Kendall, you know, as a character. Wife.
Yeah.
Really just needs rehab. Like, I want to see a season where he takes a fucking step back and he is in a facility and he's getting help. I want to see his siblings cut him a little bit of slack. Everyone is so robotic and it's so obvious that Kendall, like, needs care and nobody gives him a lot of it, even like his divorce. And later when he has a girlfriend, I think she tries to help, but it's never quite as authentic as it needs to be. He needs a fucking hug, like a long one. And he needs help from professionals. Like, I want to see that happen in a season where he kind of just takes a step back. I also want to ask, did you guys hear about the Jeremy Strong New Yorker article? Like,
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I did a little bit of reading of the article. It was fantastic. It was very interesting. It was very long. And kind of like the point of the article is that Jeremy does so much like method acting and gets so deep into the character that he alienates himself from the rest of the cast because he's like, oh, this is something that Kendall would do. So he's not like, it's apparent that the rest of the cast is friendly and he just kind of like isolates himself because it's like exactly how Kendall would play it. And there's just a bunch of like really interesting moments in this article. There's one where the interviewer is like mentions that, you know, people, you know, say Succession is a comedy. And he's like, I don't believe it's a comedy. And just finds nothing funny about it. Which is so interesting. Like, you can't tell that, like, there is irony behind these lines. But, like, Kendall doesn't think they're ironic. So he's getting so deep into the character that he doesn't believe it either. The interviewer said that he was even wearing Kendall's clothing, which is always like a little bit ridiculous. Like, as the seasons go on, he plays with like his image and shit. And he's even wearing Kendall's clothes while being interviewed. It's apparent that there is friction between the other cast, him and the other cast. He's so Kendall, and it's hard. And I always like hearing my favorite, like, behind the scenes facts are always like, oh, this actor was going to play this character. So he initially was cast as Roman. He was fired after one day and they brought him back to play Kendall. So interesting. Like, it's very hard to imagine an actor of such like seriousness playing Roman. That is so odd to me. And like, I just always love those facts so much. And then he also mentions that like a lot of his lines and so many of his like big long outbursts, including actually that big mental breakdown in the bathroom, like after Logan tells him that he's not going to be the head of the company. A lot of it is improvised, and actually a lot of all of the lines on the show are improvised because these actors know their characters so well that they really can just like say it and it really, really works. And I'm not really surprised to hear that information. So you guys should go check out that New Yorker article. It was juicy.
I was gonna say it's interesting.
Yeah. And you know what I find crazy is like this interviewer is like spending a lot of time with him. A lot. Like, it is a long article and he is always with him. He like travels with him and he's shitting on him. And I'm just like,
Who is the reporter? Like, did he have a relationship with him before?
It's not the reporter's job to make him look good.
I know. I'm literally only saying it as a human being.
But, like, why did the reporter write this article? Like, how did he know?
You hear things on set where it's like, oh, yeah, like, it took us 3 hours to get whoever out of their trailer.
I want to know what Jeremy Strong's publicist has to say about this.
Well, it was good stuff because, you know, people eat that shit up where it's like...
Oh, yeah, of course.
He didn't break character for 2 months.
It's by Michael Shulman, and literally the title of the article is On Succession, Jeremy Strong Doesn't Get the Joke.
No, I remember I read the article.
Oh, yeah. He's so serious. Like, it's really interesting. So I thought I would share that. And that had, you know, plenty of really interesting behind the scenes little facts. Okay, I will move on. The next character is Roman Roy, who like, there's so much to say about Roman. It's not even funny. He's played by Kieran Culkin, who is Macaulay Culkin's brother. Home Alone. Kieran has been acting since he was six. I listened to a podcast today that was like a little interview with him. He like came back to acting. He wasn't like super into it for like a period of time. He came back to acting. He was asked to read for Cousin Greg. That's also weird. Then they were like, oh, maybe you should read for this character that like you're literally perfect for. And he has mentioned that like most of his lines are improv. He can like read a line twice before going on because he's just been doing this his whole life. Yeah, that's fucking incredible. At the end of the first episode, which you guys watched, we see him like offering a child like of a working class family a $1 million check and then just purely ripping it up to shreds in front of his face, which, I mean, takes a level of heartlessness that you can't even wrap your brain around. And that's really Roman. Like, he is without a doubt the child that has the least moral compass and has never really had a consequence for anything that he's done in his entire life. And he hasn't cared really up until now. And he starts to care about his place in the company and in the family. I think he was like riding off of the wealth for a while. And now he cares. And there's like a lot of weird shit about his sexuality. He can't have like a normal romantic relationship. And he actually ends up having this weird.
Should I take off my headphones?
Sure. He ends up having this like weird sexual slash like kind of romantic relationship with Jerry Kelman, who is ends up being like the interim. I'm glad he took his headphones off. The interim CEO of the company.
Oh, interesting.
While Logan is out of commission and she's like an old lady, and he just literally gets off by her humiliating him. And there's he obviously has this like humiliation kink, and he's literally in a relationship with somebody and he can't like have sex with her in a normal way. He only gets That's off so by Jerry, and the internet fucking loves it and goes nuts. You can come back, Reese.
I'm back, baby. You're gonna love
that. Was juicy tea.
Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. I thought it was juicy. See, like, that's what I want to see in the first episode.
Yeah, but they can't do that. You have to lay the groundwork.
Yeah, that's Roman. Yeah. A lot of people think he's hot. I have a TikTok right now. It's doing really well because I'm talking about how people think he's hot. I kind of think he's hot, but I'm like trying to evaluate in my own self why. It makes me a little uncomfortable.
I don't know if I think he's hot. He looks too much like his brother.
I think it's okay to find toxic characters attractive because of the fact that they're characters. Like, as long as you can differentiate. Like, yes, that's obviously not, like, no.
It's a little icky, though.
No, I'm sure in the show he's going to do terrible things. Like, if the first episode was any evidence. Like, that was so fucked. But yeah. He's very charismatic. And, like, have you guys seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Is he in it?
No.
Yes. Yeah, no, he has. Oh. He is the funniest character in that movie. And it's just, he just steals scenes every time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he is definitely a fan favorite. And I would say a fan favorite also is their sister, Siobhan, a.k.a. Shiv Roy. I actually never really knew how the name Siobhan was pronounced until now.
Wait, I think about names. Wait, I can bring this up at the end, but have you like seen that TikTok about how all their names like mean something? And like there's like a Reddit thread about it, about how like all their names have like a deeper meaning to them.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've never watched it before earlier today, but I'm deep on Succession TikTok.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because it's such an easy place to be.
I get all the videos and I still laugh at them not knowing what they mean, but same. I love it.
Fucking hysterical. Mm-hmm. So Shiv is the only girl. She's the baby. The actress is Sarah Snook. She's Australian, so she doesn't have an English, like an American accent.
Reese loves her, of course.
Do you?
I don't know, maybe.
No, she's great. Everyone does.
Reese is obligated to have a crush on like the female.
Reese, she gets hotter.
Every show.
Oh, I've
seen. She gets hotter. There's so many jokes about like her BBL.
I've seen Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shiv, like, starts out and she is a political strategist and she doesn't work for the company. And that changes. She acts like she is, like, above the rest of the fam. I don't want to speak bad about Shiv. I'll start with that. I don't want to speak bad about Shiv because there are so many instances where, like, they speak over her or she gives an opinion and it's obviously the right opinion. And they just look over her, like, in my opinion, because she's a woman and because Logan doesn't respect women, period. So, like, it's hard, but also she's also a bad person. And, like, you think that maybe she's a good person, but she's not, because they, none of them are good. And every time you think she's going to be good, she's fucking not.
I was going to say, this brings up even a greater moral question. Can someone who runs, like, a conglomerate, like a massive company, even be a moral person?
Oh, that's such a different, like, I can't even begin.
We don't have to get into it. But, like, I just, once again, where it's like, if you're competing for the power of a company this big, how moral can you actually be? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shiv, I have another. It's okay. You're going to, you know that Shiv and Tom are married.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, that's, should I take off my headphones?
No, you're good. So she marries Tom, and it's like, why the fuck does she marry this man? Because he's so obviously...
He's a Pride and Prejudice guy.
Yes, so...
I was in the Pride and Prejudice play when I was in ninth grade. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's wonderful. People thirst over Pride and Prejudice, and they're like, oh, it's my sexual awakening, blah, blah, blah. And I had this moment where I was, like, drunk at the end of a night, and then I was like, oh, my God, that's Tom Wolfe's kid.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was, like, eating or something, and it just came to me. Like, I didn't even look it up. I just realized that they were the same fucking person. And, like, Tom is not an attractive character, and they don't, like, try to make him be an attractive character. But all these people say that Pride and Prejudice is, like, their sexual awakening, which I find so interesting. And he's also English, so he also has an accent. And Tom really has, like, two sides of him. He has, like, the very, very, very beta, very submissive side of him that is with Shiv, which is really just an outlet to, like, get into the company and, like, work his way up into the company. Smart. And also his side of him that is, like, partnered up with Cousin Greg, who is played by Nicholas Braun.
I love Cousin Greg!
And every little lady loves Cousin Greg, which is totally understandable. He is 6'7". You think he's stupid, but he's really not stupid. He's really just observing the entire time and taking information in as he goes and, like, moving, like, facilitating the company in a very similar way that Tom is. And, like, they attach themselves to each other in, honestly, an incredibly endearing and charming way. Also, Nicholas Braun was in Sky High, and that was one of my sexual awakenings. Sky High, just, like, a movie as in general.
I was going to say, I think everyone... can find one person at least in Sky High that was their, like, sexual awakening. It has something for every person.
Everyone. Yeah, I did 110%.
I never watched Sky High.
Oh, do you know who Juge would like? War and Peace.
Yeah, War and Peace is so hot.
Yeah.
Wait, is he actually, or are you guys, like, making fun of
him? I mean, like, as a child, yeah. Like, you know how things are.
Wait, I'm looking him up.
Yeah.
Actually, like, yes. Maybe if he didn't have long hair, though.
I was a very big fan of, the girl, the pacifier woman.
Okay, he actually is hot, so.
We're doing another episode just on Sky High. It's, like, my one movie exception. I want to talk more, a little bit more about, like, internet culture that has surrounded Succession in general, but such a big thing is On Du Mois, which is, like, a celebrity gossip Instagram account.
I love that account.
Love that account. It's one of my favorites. I read it like it's like the Sunday paper. Nicholas Braun has been dubbed like New York's boyfriend, and he owns this bar called Ray's, and people are like, yeah, you can just like go to Ray's and he's there and he like hooks up with like normal girls. And
want to go to Ray's this weekend?
Yeah, I'm so down. There are all these TikToks being like, oh, like I can pull Cousin Greg, I bet. All the comments are like, wait, you can, like, just Rue Du Mois, he like is always hooking up with normies, like it's fine. Like, you could totally could pull Cousin Greg.
That's, I know that's, like part of that's, like, ew, but, like, that's also kind of endearing in a weird way.
I know! Oh,
I am so fine with it. I'd rather him hook up with normal people than like,
Instagram models.
Yeah, I would.
Interesting. You guys should go!
I'm down.
Come with us. You can be our wingman.
I'll be like, hey. I'll be like, what?
Hey, Nick!
Hey, Nikki, baby.
And then the last character that I'm going to touch upon, and there's, I mean, plenty more, is Connor, Roy, who is, again, like the eldest son, but like kind of not really treated like the eldest son. He's played by Alan Ruck, who was Cameron in Ferris Bueller, and who I saw at a diner in my hometown of Maplewood, New Jersey in like 2013. And I was staring at him over my pancakes the entire time. And he looked so miserable, and he could tell that I was staring, and I was trying to figure out, because like we're big Ferris Bueller fans in my family. And then I realized, and then he was at my diner, Maple Leaf Diner in Maplewood, New Jersey. And Connor's coasting. Like, he's dating this like call girl that like he used to pay to date him, and now he just pays her to fund her like playwright extravaganza. And her plays are terrible. But Will is a girl boss. I'm not gonna talk bad about Willa. And then he ends up wanting to run for president of the United States.
Jesus.
So that's Connor. And that's what I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Through, like, the research of these characters, I learned that, like, all of them really, really, really connect to who they play. They all see themselves in the characters, and, like, a lot of the character has their own personality enveloped within the performance. And there's just, like, a lot of improv going on all the time. Which is, I love that. That just shows.
You can tell it's very natural.
Yes, that shows that they know their shit, period, and all. That's kind of, like, mostly what I have for you guys. I want to, like, close this portion of this fact that I love, that life imitates art, and, like, there's so much media corporate lingo in this show, and, like, that I wonder, oh, whether people pick up on this. Like, I pick up on it because I work in that sphere. In big media companies, there are always mergers going on. And at the time that the first season of this show had just aired, HBO's parent company, which is now WarnerMedia, at the time Time Warner, was just acquired by AT&T. Which, spoiler alert, we're leaving AT&T again. So, like, but I just thought that was so interesting because, like, this show talks about mergers and they're trying to acquire, like, different news networks. And, like, it's just so real and so relatable to my everyday life.
And that is, like, the same as News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company. Although I'm surprised they set it in FIDI, not Midtown, because that's where the News Corp building is.
Yeah, the show was shot on location in New York City, and Waystar Royco is in Financial District. Shout out, Reese.
I was going to say, a lot of things film there just because the streets are wide. Like, we film there a bunch. Maisel. And, like, a bunch of shows that are always, like, parked outside. But, yeah, no, yeah. I saw my building in one of the scenes. So I was like, oh, nice.
You did?
Yeah, no, when they're at the helicopter pad, like, that's literally walking distance from my apartment.
I would love that.
So when they take off, they pan. Yeah, so that was, I was like, oh, woohoo.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's what I have for you guys. I had a blast, like, writing this and learning more about the show. I think it has big things coming. I think it's so well-deserved for the critical acclaim that it gets. I also made a TikTok, like, comparing all of my family members at Thanksgiving to each of the family members, and it was really good. It didn't get a lot of love, but, like, it got love from me, and that's kind of what counts.
That's what matters. Those, yeah.
Because it was so accurate.
Well, yeah, now I'm actually interested.
So who are you?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
Shiv. Shivy.
I want to be Shiv.
Are you kidding me?
Wait, have you seen, like, they call her Shiv? Because she's, like, a knife. Like, she's, like, sharp.
Yes, that was the TikTok. She is sharp. Yeah. She's so fucking sharp.
I want to be Shiv.
Okay, well, we can talk about it in the comparison. I'm just saying what I am in my family.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Do you guys want to compare? Or do you have closing thoughts of your own?
Really liked it. No complaints. Good pacing, laid the groundwork for a good show. I'm excited to watch. Good job on this T.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that you enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. My closing thought is, I think it's a cool show. I don't know if I'll continue. I want to, like, really like the show. I'm much more inclined to watch this than Fantasy. Sorry, Reese.
Okay.
But I think it's a cool show. I definitely want to be more in on all, you know, the TikToks and,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a sexy show. I want to watch.
Yeah, that's the fun of it, being in on the TikToks.
Can I add one last thing?
Yes.
I was going to say, it goes back to the argument I will always make. Weekly releases is the way that shows like this need to be done.
Oh, I agree.
Because discourse will now take place over 2 months. You have the episode air. Then throughout the week, people make their memes and their TikToks, and they discuss on Reddit and in Twitter. And then the next episode comes out, and then it elongates like the actual appeal of the show, and it makes it more fun to watch because it's a group activity.
It's great for PR.
Yeah.
That too, but like it's also a better watching experience where it's like you're forced to discuss. And like now I'm going to watch all 3 seasons before season 4 comes out because I want to be a part of that discourse.
Me too. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I was like, "Ugh, I'm behind exactly. I'm behind on the times."
It'll yes. be interesting to see what the show's legacy is in a few years.
I agree with you. I really would like to know. Okay. Do you guys want to compare? I did some thinking before.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you guys comparisons because I don't know the characters well enough yet, to be honest. Like,
so basically, it's just your girl.
Yeah. Like, I
well, we'll say if we agree or disagree.
Yeah, I could say all that, right. But it's tough for me to give you guys people because... Like, I understand the characters, but I'm understanding that there's so much left to go. So let's trust you for this one.
Okay. I just am Shiv. Like, I know it to my core. I see, like, I think I'm a better fucking person than Shiv, but, like, I have all brothers and I love my brothers so much. But, like, when you have a lot of, like, men around, like, sometimes your opinion, like, I've been accused of being, like, very, I overreact and like everything that I do is dramatic in my opinion because I'm a woman and I think that like she gets overlooked in that same way and again like she has plenty of her own fucking shit and like ends up manipulating her husband and like somebody who really loves her as a way to like get that anger out, but I also just think she's like smart and knows the right fucking thing to do and is the best one of them. So not that I'm the best one of my family. I see myself in Shiv. I kind of think, and this is a compliment, and I know you don't know who this is. I think that Julia is Willa, who is like Connor's girlfriend, who like used to be like a call girl and is now like a girl boss.
That'd be a main character.
She has a big part.
Okay.
Like she has a part.
Okay.
Like Willa. Willa, like, made it. Like, Willa girl bossed her way into this huge fucking family. She's going on these, like, elaborate vacations. She gets to, like, do her dream job and have it be financed by her boyfriend. All the while just, like, being fabulous. And she fucking did it. Like, I think you are Willa. And then Reese, I really was just, like, imagined your face in front of all of their faces. And I am going to go... For a second, I was like, Roman. Then I was like, no. I'm going to go with Kendall.
Aw. no. That was a... See, it's interesting. I was going through who I thought you would choose for me. And I thought you would say... I thought you would say the first part where you were going to be like, I thought at first Roman because he's like fun and goofy, but he's a little bit... too chaotic and I'm not chaotic.
You're not. And you're not Connor because Connor is so out there with like he has no intention. And even when he thinks he has intention, there's none.
Yeah, and like that's what I was saying. That's why for me, I don't think Kendall because I don't know, I don't think our energies are the same.
No, they're not the same. They're not the same. But for the sake of the exercise...
I feel like I know my place, whereas he doesn't understand that he's not his father. And he wants to...
Well, I know a different Kendall.
Okay, maybe...
I know a different Kendall, and I...
Yeah. From episode 1, he was like, Weasel, and I was like, no, that's not... I was thinking, for me, either Greg, because he's kind of funny, and...
Maybe Tom. No, I still like Kendall the best.
But my favorite is Logan.
But you're not Logan.
I know, but like, I just love how...
Okay, just because your favorite doesn't mean that's who you are.
Yeah.
Shut up. You're not even in the main cast. Get out of the screen.
Okay, but I'm a girl boss.
Yeah, we have to wait 3 minutes for your name to show up in the credits.
Okay, whatever. She's in the opening credits, I think. Those beautiful, brilliant opening credits.
Yeah, maybe... Okay, maybe the longer I watch... the show, maybe I'll like that comparison.
I think you're Kendall because you're the most serious about, you're serious about what you do.
Okay. Okay. And like,
without anything else, like, he's serious about what he does, and he does things like a little recklessly, but like also he usually does have somewhat of a plan. Yeah, I don't think it's any of them, but if it's going to be someone, it's going to be him. I don't think you fit any of the other ones. I don't see you as Greg. You're not as like whimsical as Greg, you know?
I didn't view him as whimsical. And like aloof. But also, I don't.
Aloof.
Interesting. I don't know. I'll He's watch more of the show.
Okay. All right. That's it for me, folks. I hope that you guys learned something.
Yeah, no, it was a good episode. I thought we had some really good discussion, and I liked the insight that you gave, because there was a bunch of stuff.
I'm so happy to hear that.
No, yeah, I think the research was very well done, and I learned a lot. And
thank you, guys. I studied.
Yeah, I can tell you're...
Mic you drop.
Know. Wait, can I say my one grievance? Maybe I'll save my second one for the next episode.
You can say one. I don't have any, because my life's great.
Okay, and it relates to the show.
Okay. Okay,
this is the type of show I think you need to watch on a big screen TV, not a laptop. However, I moved a month ago, and I ordered a TV, and it's the same TV I've had before, so I knew exactly which one I wanted because it works really well, and it's a good size. So I ordered the same TV, shows up to my apartment, I get it mounted by a TaskRabbit. It's fucking broken. You can't fix it. The screen is broken. So the first time I ordered the TV, it was from Amazon. I should have known. Like, I hate Jeff Bezos. Then I was like, I don't trust Amazon shipping because it came broken. So let me order the same TV. Let me return this TV and let me order the same one from Walmart. So I ordered the TV from Walmart because that's when I when I first bought this TV in my old apartment, that's where I got it from. So I bought the TV from Walmart.com. They raised the price, but whatever. So I bought the TV. I bought like the insulation that comes with it. The TV, literally, I've been tracking the shipment. It was in New York, and then it gets delivered in Indiana. My TV says delivered to
my jaws on the floor
in Indiana. So now I don't have a TV. I call Walmart yesterday. I go, why is my TV in Indiana? They go, they had to send it back to the shipping center. I'm like, why? They're like, I don't know. They're like, I'm like, can I get a TV? They're like, you have to call back tomorrow after 8 p.m. So I have to call them back after this recording. And I'm really frustrated because all I want to do is just lie in my bed and watch TV on the big screen instead of a laptop, because I hate watching TV on a laptop. And that's my grievance for the week.
That's like really fair. I thought you were going to say that your grievance was that Reese didn't help you put the TV up when he said he would.
Oh, no.
I was quarantined.
No, yeah, I'm joking.
No, I don't blame you for that, but I did spend a lot of time assembling my desk chair, which I could have used your help with. But
yeah, no, I'm pretty good at making desk chairs and
don't worry,
and
I
stuff.
Have some other tasks for you. I have to hang my paintings.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah, so come on over.
All right, yeah, I still haven't seen the place.
I know, we need to do a housewarming.
Yeah.
When should we do it?
Soon, while I still have antibodies. I've already been boosted. Like, there's nothing.
I think I have them too still, because it hasn't been.
I mean, I just had COVID too.
But grievance for the week, resolutions.
I like resolutions.
Like, I just, if you really want to do something, just do it whenever it comes to your mind.
I do agree with that. But
it's like,
yeah, but it takes people like an actual shift in something to do that sometimes. Like, sometimes people need a push.
I think your resolution would be to either keep doing something or do something more.
Yes, and it's like, it's another thing where it's like, I like, you know, markers are nice, where it's like, if someone wants to like journal every day for a year, then yes, use like the whatever calendar that we've decided.
I started using a planner.
There we go. Planners are great. I'm got mine in front of me. But like, it doesn't make sense to me when people will be like, this year I'm going to be this, where it's like, you could just do that if it's December 27th. Like, it, you know.
Ugh, no, I think can't. I don't like unrealistic. I hate when people say unrealistic.
And it's like, also, you don't have to resolve to be better. You could just maintain. There's nothing wrong with being okay with yourself. And I don't know. I don't like the idea of resolutions, and I don't like the structure of the Roman calendar. Just We need to get rid of months. It's
fuck you, January.
No, it's completely arbitrary. It's so dumb, and we're listening to the I'm Jewish, and we're listening to the people that killed Jesus. That's all I'll say.
Tell them.
Yeah, you know. So what are the Romans? You know, the Roman Empire fell. We shouldn't be using their calendar. It's the reason people make resolutions.
Maybe we should use the Chinese lunar calendar, aka the Year of the Tiger, which is coming up.
That's fine by me. Like, hey, that was probably around much longer than the Roman calendar. So you just go by like time. That's fine. Time's a construct. That's my grievance for the week.
Okay. I really just don't have one.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I like life. I like life good. Right now.
No, that's good. Yeah. When I stop complaining, that's when I'll.
Well, you're like a shark. Like if you stopped complaining, you'd die.
That's what I'm saying. I would exactly. I can't stop swimming. There has to be something to keep me agitated at all times.
I love negativity.
You do not, Juge.
Yes, I do. You don't know me.
I definitely don't. Okay, yeah. Should I play us out?
Wait. Who's next week?
Yeah, is it me? Because I have a show.
Oh, it's Julia.
Is it Julia?
Uh huh.
Because we did.
What did we do before the holiday one?
So. Reese. There's Squid Game, yeah. Holiday, Talia, Juge.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do You, which is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's so relevant.
Have you guys seen it?
We're killing it.
Have you guys seen it?
But I didn't watch season three.
You have. So I watched seasons one and two. I got four episodes into season three, and then I got very busy, and then I just never picked it back up.
Okay, so I don't know what episodes to make you guys watch because I would maybe pilot. Maybe should we rewatch?
I would maybe watch season three.
You should watch season three because it was my favorite season.
Well, okay. I mean, if we've all seen enough of the show, you could pick. You could even pick a random episode then, like what season one or season two that you just think's funny or good or.
Yeah, I'll have to think about it.
Yeah. Think about it, and then
because I feel like it's not the kind of show where like I don't.
You don't need the pilot. Like you could that's do cool. like
you can think about it.
Yeah, you could do like the season one finale would be good, or like I'm trying to think if there's any good ones in season two.
I'll think about it.
Okay, yeah, cool. We'll post.
You guys should
we'll
watch post. Season three. Like if you finish season three, I'd be so happy.
No, I'll finish season three eventually. I just like it was once again,
or at least start it.
I
think we should watch season three episode one.
Okay, that's fine.
I've already seen that, so I'm good. That's same. Perfect. Okay. I can just watch it in the background. Just to refresh.
And you guys should look up what happens at the end of season three.
Also, can I tentatively put out my next show?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
just because right now there's two episodes left in the first season. So by the time we'll record mine, it'll be completely out. Like the finale will have happened.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking.
It is my favorite show of the past year, over Squid Game, over Queen's Gambit, over everything I've watched. I love it.
I don't know.
Yellow Jackets on Showtime.
Oh, I want to watch that. I think I'd like that.
It is so fucking good.
Okay, and actually, Reese,
can I use your Showtime account?
You can use mine.
Yes, you may.
Wait, actually, use Reese, I've been really wanting to watch that because I think I would really like it. So
it is.
It's on my
so
list.
Fucking
I'll try to
good.
Watch it, the whole thing before.
Yeah, no. And it's like, so I wanted to tell you guys now, because it's only 10 episodes. Only 8 episodes are out right now. So we'll have time to catch up. But cool. I really think both of you will like it.
I downloaded it to watch on my flight to Miami, and then I didn't end up going to Miami.
It looks great.
I was going to say, Tully, it's like with Succession, where it's like, you get like, they plant the seeds so well with the characters and the pacing and Juge, like all the complaints you had about this, where it's like, it's not in, you know, it's not suspenseful or actiony. It's like, it combines all of the good things about like all of your guys' interests.
Cool. All right, my lovely friends, I gotta go to bed. So that's what I'll say to that. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Or if you're starting your day with us, thank you very much.
Morning.
Good morning.